Welcome to Common Salvation, the sermons and other thoughts of Pastor Philip Hoppe, a pastor in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. This sermon was preached January 27th and 28th, 2024, at Trinity Lutheran Church in Colby and Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Hoxie. The text for the day was Mark chapter 1, verses 21 to 28. Let's listen in. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When we are afraid of anything, there are sort of two options of how we generally deal with that fear. One is to try to minimize that threat itself in our minds. The other is to prove that no matter how big the threat actually is, there is something or someone able to deal with that threat powerfully and effectively. For instance, when a hurricane comes barreling down in a coastal city, it can be terrifying for those who are dwelling there to think of its power to destroy and to kill. So what does one do? Well, one option is to simply convince yourself that the threat is not really that great. You can talk about how the news coverage is always overly sensational just to get you to watch. You can convince yourself that the likelihood of the storm passing right over you would be minimal. You can talk about past predictions that prove to be big old nothing burgers. Or you can convince yourself that there are things and people that will prove more powerful than the storm itself. Perhaps you place your trust in the infrastructure that the Army Corps of Engineers has built. Perhaps you trust the government in your local town to be able to rescue you even if the worst were to happen. Perhaps you trust the actions you yourself have taken to assure that your property will be safe. Today we hear in our gospel reading about Jesus casting out an unclean spirit that was present in a man who had come into the synagogue. The spirit convulsed the man and came out of him at Jesus' command. But truth be told, if you stop to think about this event very long at all, it's very easy to get distracted thinking solely about that unclean spirit inhabiting that man. And if that becomes your meditation, well then fear of such a thing is quite a normal reaction. After all, an invisible force that seeks to do ill is the kind of stuff that can keep one up at night, looking around every corner for danger. But no doubt, when it comes to this fear also, fear of unclean spirits or demons, again, people respond in those same two ways. Some try to minimize the threat, while others trust in something or someone who is able in their mind to deal with that threat powerfully. Yes, some try to minimize the threat in their minds. Some will hear a text like ours for today and become convinced that the only reason Mark calls these things unclean spirits is because he does not have better medical knowledge to determine what is actually going on with these people. These kind of people will say that the unclean spirits of the past are truly just the epileptics or the severely mentally ill of the present, better treated with medicine than exorcism. They will think that the only things that one needs to fear are the things that can be seen and heard and touched and tasted. They tell themselves that being afraid of things one cannot see is merely something that children do. Others simply will refuse to let their minds even consider such realities at length. Still others might decide, without any really good sound reasoning, that stuff like that really happened, but only back in Bible times. They will tell themselves anything that can help make the fear of that threat leave their mind. But when it comes to the reality of unclean spirits, this might be a rather dangerous approach. It might be the equivalent of standing on the beach the day that the hurricane is supposed to make landfall. Oh, there are times in life where things feared are really nothing to be afraid of in reality, and in those cases, putting those things into proper perspective can be a good approach. The child that is convinced that not sleeping in their parents' room is quite terrifying will eventually have to learn that their room is just as safe as their parents'. Someone terrified of flying might need to be shown the statistics about the safety of flying over and against other means of transportation. But when the threat is real, this approach is quite foolish. Yes, it is the kind of thinking that can leave a family in the path of a wildfire. It's the kind of thinking that could lead a young child to getting swept under in the undertow of the ocean waters. It's the kind of thing that leads to young men often finding themselves in real peril of various sorts. Yes, thinking that there is no real threat when there is a real threat is foolish indeed. It is dangerous. So I guess, then, we had better discuss the reality of unclean spirits, because quite frankly, it's not something that we speak all that often about out loud. And to talk about unclean spirits or demons is to speak of fallen angels. And to talk of fallen angels, I suppose we must speak first of angels in general. Angels appear throughout Scripture from Genesis all the way to Revelation. All of the angels, numbering so many that counting them is impossible, were created sometime during the 6 days of creation. There are no new angels created now by God directly, and certainly humans do not become angels after their death. Angels are spirits, and spirits alone, unlike humans, which are only complete when body and soul come together. Angels possess some large matter of intelligence and will. They're said in the Bible to excel in strength, being more powerful than any man. Some angels, though, fell from God into sin, headed by the devil, who also is just a fallen angel himself. We are not told the exact details of this. We are simply told that the devil was judged because he was puffed up in pride, and that the angels who sided with him sinned greatly in doing so, so greatly that they were not spared punishment. These evil angels are the demons. They are the unclean spirits. No, unclean spirits are not the ghosts of people that have died, coming back to haunt someone. That would be true even if they appear as such. They are fallen angels. And Scripture tells us that these fallen angels indeed love to cause all sorts of trouble. They love to harm man in his body. They love to hurt him in terms of his possessions. They particularly relish trying to devour the faith of those who hold fast to Jesus. They love to try to cause doubt and remove people from the Word of God and the gathering of the people of God. We are told that the gates of hell, a metaphor for the devil and his crew, war against Christ's church. They seek to pluck the Word out of the hearts of man after it is proclaimed. They tempt man towards all sorts of sin. And no, the Scriptures do not ever hint that these unclean spirits have somehow been vanquished into non-existence at some point. Only on the last day will they be thrown into the abyss. Paul says it this way: our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Yes, those spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms are what we are talking about. So while the nature of how unclean spirits act might change in the world, their presence remains, their desire to deceive continues, and therefore the threat is real. Therefore, to act as if it is not real, or simply to try to ignore this real threat, is not wise. Rather, it is foolish, it is dangerous. So then there is but one choice left. You must trust in something or someone who can save you from this threat. And no, the answer is not to hang some charm or crystal or element of the earth from your neck. You don't need to throw salt into the corners of your house. You do not need to cleanse your house with sage, as some in our community would suggest. None of these things have any power to save you from the unclean spirits. No, instead, look to the one who teaches with authority, the one whom the demons themselves fear, knowing that he is the Holy One of God, the one who says, "Be silent, come out," to them, and they do. Yes, the one who commands the evil spirits, and they obey him. For you know this one, and more importantly, he knows you. He has claimed you as his own in the watery word of baptism. The victory over all evil which he displayed at the cross and the tomb is yours by his grace, given to you week after week through his authoritative word and in his power-passing supper. He is more than able to guard you and to keep you. He is able to make the devil and his demons flee, for they know him and they fear him. I said there are two options of how to deal with fear, but I suppose we could say there are three. So here are the three choices you have in regards to unclean spirits or the demons. First, you could simply fear the unclean spirits. Secondly, you could act as if they do not really exist. Or you could trust in the one the demons shudder in fear at, the one the devil himself must acknowledge as the victor. The first way will ruin your life. The second way will make you easy prey. The last way is wise. Wise unto salvation, salvation from every unclean spirit and every uncleanness as well. So trust in Jesus, the Holy One of God. Amen.